For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Welcome, my friends, to episode number 193 of the MSR Cast Metal Podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek.
I'm Sean the Metal Pigeon.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good.
We've been to a lot of shows recently, haven't we?
You've been to a lot of shows recently.
A few. Yeah, I guess so.
Two in 2 days?
Yeah, two in two days. That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not too bad, though.
Yeah. I was last at the, and you were there too, Swallow the Sun and Amorphis.
That was Sunday night as we're recording
Easter
this.
Sunday. Couple
days. Easter Sunday, that's right, it was.
And I don't know, you know, it was a pretty decent turnout for an Easter Sunday show.
How many people do you think there was? Maybe like
200? 100,
150, 200?
I think 200 at most, yeah.
Okay.
Which is, I think, a pretty decent turnout for a holiday like that, especially on Monday, you know, following up. So, but I think those shows sometimes are special, even though you want there to be more people there. They're special because the band kind of feels a little looser, a little more informal.
Yeah.
So the show feels a little more intimate and stuff.
So let's talk about the show since we're jumping right into it.
Yeah.
And it's still fresh on our minds. So I don't remember the first band. There was another local band, but the first local band was a band called Black Standard.
Yeah.
What do you think about them?
I thought they were pretty impressive. They had a song called, what was that song that started with an A that the singer was talking about?
It started with an A, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me preface this. I actually know one of the guys in the band pretty well.
The bassist.
The bass player, yeah. Christopher Spence. I've known him since back in my GameStop days.
Yeah. I thought that they were a good band, interesting, had moments. They had one song where I thought, like, oh, yeah. And the crowd was really into that song,
yeah,
too, the one I was talking about. And I thought the vocalist had a pretty welcoming demeanor.
They had a good stage presence,
not obnoxious,
I think. Stage presence. They were tight.
Yeah.
Their music was really well done.
They didn't commit the cardinal sin, at least in my opinion, the cardinal sin of local bands, which is speaking to the crowd in between songs in a growling voice. He spoke in his plain, and he was kind of self-deprecating, and I think that goes a long way if you're a local band of making people feel like, oh, I want to be on these guys' side instead of like, well, these douchebags up here, you know?
And then and right after that was when the two touring bands started to play.
Yeah.
So first was Swallow the Sun, who we just saw, maybe seen how many months before? Like four months?
Yeah, 4 or 5 months ago.
When they were here was Dark Tranquility.
Yeah, that was in December or November. I can't remember anymore.
I don't remember.
So 5 months ago, probably, yeah.
A little bit of a different show.
They played a lot more older stuff
this time. They did play a lot of older stuff, and you know, the keyboardist is no longer with the band. We saw like the last show with the keyboardist.
Yeah, it was his career-ending show, apparently.
And all the keyboards were done on a computer.
Yeah.
And Juha, right? That's how you say his name?
Mm-hmm.
Juha?
Yeah, Juha.
Juha, yeah. He was not on this tour.
And he wasn't with them last time either.
Right.
The touring guitarist they're using right now is another guy, is a friend of theirs, Juha, who, by the way, was the guitarist in Before the Dawn.
Oh, okay.
So
that doesn't confuse anybody. Hey, I'm going to get a replacement, and his name is Juha.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Isn't your name? Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Though. This guy is kind of blonde. Brown hair. Juha is the black hair. So, you know, obviously Juha is not going to be touring for a while because he wants to be out of the public limelight and just be to himself and stuff. And that's cool. He started a new band, actually, with Tommy from Amorphis and Gas Lipstick from... who used to be in Him. It's a three...
Gas Lipstick?
The drummer Gas, the big guy. Used to be a roadie for Stradivarius back in the old days.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And
you learn something new here every day.
Yeah, well, they're doing a project that is based on, I believe, the last music that Aaliyah Stambridge wrote. I'm getting that wrong. It's basically the music it's the music that Juha was writing the week after that tragedy happened. So Tommy and Gas came together to help him finish this album. and they're going to be releasing it sometime this year. I can't remember the exact name, but it's going to come out on Spart Records, who also put out Trees of Eternity, which we talked at length about many episodes ago. So that's cool.
What's it called again?
I don't remember the name of the band or the project that he's doing, but it's going to be another release that's coming out. So you're going to be getting more music from him. But, you know, touring Juha is great. And I got to talk to him after the show, and he was really down-to-earth guy and stuff. We were laughing about the popcorn machine that they always... Because the last time Swallow the Sun went on stage, the moment before they went on stage, someone asked for popcorn.
Yeah.
So the smell permeates this venue, which is not very big. And I could tell the last time when I was watching him that he was looking around for like... Smells like what is that smell?
The popcorn?
And then this time, right before they went on stage, someone fired up the popcorn machine again. So we were laughing about the fact that like every time he takes a stage in Houston, like there's this smell in the air. And he's like, yeah, I was wondering what that was about.
See, I was starting to get a little hungry during that show, and I smelled that popcorn. It smelled so damn good, but I'm not going to buy it.
Oh, they sell it?
I don't think that it's not free.
Huh, that's weird.
If it was free, more people would be walking around with it for sure.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so.
So the headliner band, of course, was Amorphis, and I have been waiting many, 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 many years to see them live.
Yeah, this is their first Houston show in a while, right?
It's been a long time.
They haven't been here in a long time.
I remember, I think the last time they played, I wasn't able to make it because of a work thing. I was working nights, and I couldn't get off. I luckily bought the VIP like meet and greet package, which was a really good deal. I don't even want to tell you how little I paid for that, you know. It was like one of the Black Friday Enter the Vault specials. Totally worth it. We got there really early because I didn't really know what was going on, so I finally just walked in there and found the tour girl. She was really nice, and I was like, hey, so what do I need to do? And I gave her my email printout. She's like, oh, let me take care of you. Gave me the thing. She's like, come back, we're gonna, you know, let people in at 6:30. So I came back at 6:30, and it turns out the tour manager, I used to work with him at one point. I'm not going to say where, but at one point when I was working locally for a guy that dealt with music, he was a tour manager back then too. And, you know, so it was very interesting. So we had all this extra Easter candy from my wife's parents, so we brought that to him. And so the merch girls were eating all the big bag of M&Ms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they had this special deal going on, right? Because we were budgeting for two T-shirts, one for me and one for my wife. They had a deal that we could not pass up. It was $120.
Yeah.
So what you do, you get an Amorphis tote bag, and it's a pretty big tote bag too.
Right.
And you're able to fit six items into it. So no matter what the cost was.
Like max six.
Max of six items, yeah. So whatever fits in there, that's six items. So I guess the candy helped grease the palm or something, because I bought the button-up shirt, I bought the hoodie, got two T-shirts, and I got both autographed vinyl albums.
Yeah.
The hoodie, she just gave it to me. I was just holding it the whole time. Didn't fit in the bag. Didn't fit in it at all. So
nice.
So it's a pretty good deal. Then I also bought another Swallow the Sun shirt, because I really want to support them.
Right, yeah.
And their shirts were cheap, only $25.
Yeah. Yeah, last time I bought a shirt, a Swallow the Sun shirt and
a hoodie. Yeah.
So this time I went, I was like, all right, I'm gonna tip Amorphis a little bit. And so I bought an Amorphis shirt, the one you're wearing right now.
Yep.
Actually.
It could have been twinsies.
I love that design. And you know what? I just Instagrammed this, but a picture of that shirt. But they know how to do designs.
Yeah.
Minimal, classy, elegant looking.
And they had
designs.
A couple of no old school slogans. Logo shirts too.
Yeah, they had the Tales from a Thousand Lakes shirt artwork there.
My friend Shane bought the old school logo.
I like the fact that they don't. American bands have a bad habit of doing this, of putting stupid slogans on the back of their shirts. I don't like that. Just keep it low key and minimalist, man.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Amorphis set list. Mm-hmm. I've been waiting so long for these guys to perform. But besides, number one, they were really cool. They were really nice during the meet and greet. They signed all the CDs I wanted. I brought them a blank drum head to sign. And Tomi, the singer, Tomi.
Yeah.
Tomi
Jeltsin.
Tomi Jeltsin, that's right. He like drew the logo on there and did all this other cool stuff. You got a guitar pick, don't you?
Asa Holopainen and guitar pick. Yeah, I have it right here.
Somebody that was with us in the VIP, Asa was selling like a used work a tour shirt.
Yeah.
And he bought it. It was part of that the package deal.
Yeah, yeah.
which I thought was weird. You want to? And he it was an autograph shirt that he actually wore for like a month on stage. You know? All right. Interesting.
Hollow Payton's a legend. That half of the joy of that of seeing Amorphis was just watching him play guitar. Like most of the time, I was just kind of watching him rather than the rest of the band.
Everybody is so tight in that band. That band is so good live.
Yeah, they were so phenomenal. Yeah.
The drummer is phenomenal. And since you said there's only a couple hundred people at the show,
yeah,
they could have sort of phoned it in. They didn't phone it in.
No.
It was an experience of a show for me because I've listened to a lot of live albums. I've seen videos, live videos, but nothing prepared me to actually experiencing it for myself with this band. You know, it's...
And a great set list, too.
An amazing set list, yeah.
Like, they hit, like, all the songs I kind of wanted to hear, except for, like, one, but that's a nitpick. I mean, they played, like,
which one?
My favorite... I would have wanted to hear... maybe something else off... off Tales from a Thousand Lakes.
Okay.
But...
there wasn't a lot of stuff from, like, mid-Posse era either.
No. What's the song on the album with Silver Bride that's the ballad? Which is... I'm blanking right now.
So, set list they played... so, they did Under the New Red Cloud from the new album, Sacrifice, Sampo, which is... that blew me away, that song. Silver Bride, Hopeless Days, Skyforger, Bad Blood from the new album, The Smoke, Into Hiding, Unrich and Poor from Elegy, My Cantele, apparently that's how you say it.
Yeah.
And then they ended House of Sleep, and then they came back and did a couple songs after that for their, you know.
I was surprised they played House of Sleep because I figured they would have been tired of playing that song already.
Yeah. And then they came back and did Death of a King and ended with Black Winter Day, which featured the vocalist from Swallow the Sun as well, which was awesome. Miko. He's a nice guy. I got to meet him at one point during the show. I got a picture with him. He's a really nice guy.
The song From the Heaven of My Heart from the Skyforger album. I love that song, yeah. I would have liked to hear that. But minor nitpick.
Minor. Yeah. I wish they played like three or four more songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that was my only complaint. That's not really a complaint. It's just I wanted more.
Yeah.
I think when they were going into their encore, I was trying to start a chant going, eight more songs. Yeah. Eight more songs. Didn't work.
Well, Swallow the Sun got a long set list this time.
Good.
Longer than last time. So that kind of made up for that, too. So.
And they're playing a longer song. They played all three songs of the horror trilogy. The three songs from the horror.
Yeah.
I think they did it part four, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, Swallow the Sun, I'm always impressed with their live presence. They come out on stage with that awesome kind of droning, melancholic kind of intro song they use. And they come out, no preamble, no talking, just get into the heaviness.
Yeah.
And I just like that. I like that presentation of just walking out on stage, not saying a word, and just kicking everyone's ass like right away.
You know what I feel like doing now? I feel like playing some Amorphis.
Oh, yes. Let's do that.
Since we've been talking about them so much. How many horns up would you give that show?
The only horns I can give are two. So two horns up.
I will match your two and raise two. And I think my wife will give two horns up as well. So I'll raise you four horns.
Yeah.
It was a great show. I've been looking forward to it for 5 or 6 months. It did not disappoint.
Yeah.
I fanboyed out pretty hard.
By the way, my ticket was $11.50.
Yeah.
And Black Friday sales. Go take advantage of Black Friday sales.
So now that you brought that up, my ticket, my VIP meet and greet with my the show in with the ticket into the show was $36.
Yeah, not bad.
Not a bad deal.
No, not bad at all.
So yeah. Let's get into some Amorphis and we'll be back. Oh, let's talk about the song real quick. This is from an album that came Under the Red Cloud. They put a tour edition of this album out. And it's called Live at Huvila. Don't know where that is.
Probably Finland somewhere.
Yeah. But this is a version of the song Her Alone, which is a great song. but it features my girlfriend. I know you're going to say that. Annika van Giersbergen. Mm-hmm. So it's a great version of the song.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Oh, waiting for the sun to shine. Fever grows to burn the soul. She's left in the cold of ruin, left alone by your selfish pride. Accept your lies. The absent breath breathes down my spine. Decency is lost. The body shivers, not from fear, from your vile. Of a broken heart, your name is carved onto every piece. In the ever after, well, the sky opens to black. Face away and hide from the shadow.
Welcome back to the show, my friends. And we just listened to something from a band out of Chicago. Been on this show before, and as well as Metal Geeks, friends of the show, I would say. That is November's Doom. They just put a brand new album out last week called Hamartia. I think I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah, I heard an interview with Paul Kerr yesterday where he pronounced it the same way.
Okay, very cool.
Metalwani, good interview with Paul Kerr.
What is it on?
Metalwani.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, so the song we heard, the song you picked out actually on this album, it's Ever After. Why did you pick this song?
I just love that hook and that chorus.
Yeah.
It is absolutely just stuck in my head for the past like couple of days. And this album is just floored me. Because I knew, I'm not like a big November's Doom guy.
I am.
And this is one of Carrie's favorite bands. But you were kind of the one who kind of pushed me into going to check out their older stuff. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I can see why he's into it. It's pretty good. This album is a whole other level of pretty good. This is album of the year contender material right here. And
I would agree on that.
It is a different type of November's Doom, I feel, too. And I heard some criticism coming from, internet comments and stuff.
Because it's too much clean vocals.
Too much clean singing.
I disagree.
And I'm like, first of all, when the songwriting's this good, what are you complaining about? And then the vocals are awesome, too. And
Paul, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Paul Kerr is one of my favorite vocalists in this genre completely. His clean vocals, his guttural vocals, everything he does, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I am a sucker for deep, guttural, articulate vocals.
Yeah.
And him and Dan Swano, I think, are two of the best examples of that.
Yeah. And you catch that Swano guest vocal spot on that, on the last song on the album?
Well, Swano produces all their shit.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I like that. It was, but this is my favorite song on the album. It's the one I keep coming back to.
Actually, I didn't catch the vocal, that vocal, so I'm gonna have to go back and pay attention to it now.
This album is like the first release in their career that has like a lot of like muscle behind it in terms of industry muscle. They're on the End Records, and shout out.
They've been on the End Records for a long time, though.
Have they?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so they're a long time, but they have.
But the End Records is sort of transformed recently.
Yeah, well, they're powered by BMG now, which is a major label.
You made a comment earlier that now November's Doom shares the same label as the Cranberries.
Yeah, because the Cranberries sort of quote unquote new album is coming out later this month, and I was like, shout out
to
the End.
Why did you say quote unquote new album?
Because it's not a new album; it's like a re-recording type thing older songs.
Okay,
but shout out to the End Records for hooking me up with the November's Doom promo because. They're just one of those, they're such an eclectic label that they're not my radar as a metal label. And November's Doom is one of the few metal bands on their label. They have a couple other old, metal bands on there. They have like Goddard from Swiss, the hard rock band.
They've had Subterranean Masquerade, a bunch of those type of bands.
Yeah, they're just really eclectic. And shout out to Sarah Rip, who's doing PR over there, for hooking me up with the promo. And getting me on their mailing list, and I'm impressed with like just kind of the roster they've developed there. And also, I have a history with the End Records because when they started out, they were mostly a mail order / like budding label. And this was back in like the early 2000s, when they were based in Salt Lake City.
I used to buy a lot of stuff from them.
And everyone who was into the metal underground back then, who was like trying to order releases,
the Indistro,
they went to the End because they offered, it was $10 an album and free shipping in the United States.
Oh yeah.
And and when that deal came out, free shipping, this was unheard of at the time. This was 2002. And you would have to, and before then, you'd have to plan out your orders ahead of time and go, okay, all right, I'm going to get these five albums this order, because you'd only get hit with the one shipping fee because, all the distros would pack it into one package.
Yeah.
But with the End, it was like you could just freely order albums one at a time.
And they would always have really good specials, too. So I went to go purchase this album to support one of my favorite bands, and I went to the End Records. They don't have a store anymore that I could find.
It's the Omega Order. It's called the Omega Order. That's okay. They've just branched it off into a different company within their organization.
Oh, no wonder why I couldn't find it.
So it's they're still doing the distro, and that still funds kind of their label operations. I don't know if they offer the free shipping anymore, but back in the day, man, the free shipping was a big fucking deal. Like I said, like I would have to plan out what albums I was going to order, and when I wanted to do it, because I wanted to avoid getting hit with multiple shipping fees. But when the End came along, I forgot the guy's name, Andreas, I think, the founder of the label. Yeah, he was running it all by himself out of Salt Lake City, and you can order a single album, $10, free shipping. This was revolutionary for the time. So shout out to The End. Everyone go support them. Go check out the Omega Order. They are one of those kind of unheralded distros in the United States that before, you know, the rise of digital releases and MP3s and streaming,
yeah,
that was how a lot of us got our music.
I used to always peruse their sales.
Yeah,
see what I could get. They'd put like stuff for like $2-3.
They were pioneers, at least from my memory. They were pioneers of the bundles of the doing the album with T-shirt bundles.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
And
autographed posters come with stuff.
Yeah, and their clearance sales were amazing. And after they were doing the bundles, I started noticing, you know, Century Media Distro started doing bundles, Nuclear Blast started doing bundles. So I have fond memories of them. So shout out to Sarah Rip and Leo, everyone at the NPR. For hooking me up with the promo, because I was just streaming this album on Spotify, and there's going to be a review coming up on the Metal Pigeon pretty soon. Obviously, if you hear this before you read the review, you're going to know what I'm going to say about it. But
you hate it,
yeah,
absolutely despise it.
Yeah, but I'm just so surprised by how much I love this album, because I just didn't. It just came out of left field, and I didn't expect it to hit me that hard, and you know, we didn't talk about it, or we played it on the show last time. No, we didn't play it on the show. But one of the other albums that came out in February that I've been listening to a lot has been the new Morris Principium Est.
Yes, and, agreed on that one.
I really like that album. And I think it started on their last album, where they had this new guitarist come in.
Okay, help me out here, dude. I am Googling, trying to find the In Records Omega Order. I can't find it.
It's. I think if you go to their website, they actually have it on through the endrecords.com.
Okay, I'm going there right now. This is a exercise in hopefully see.
There's no
November Zoom are on the top of the header. That's pretty good.
That's cool. There's nothing at the top. No option to go there in the top. Maybe they're changing it around. I don't know. I know they've been acquired.
Record label contact.
Maybe they're changing it.
I don't know, man. This is weird.
I could have sworn it's still around under the Omega Order.
Please see below for all purchase. So there's Apple, Amazon,
Google Play, Spotify.
And yeah, I don't see a physical place to buy it here.
Restructuring the business, perhaps.
Maybe. That sucks. Yeah.
Well, but they're now they're based in Manhattan. They've clearly elevated their profile, and they're. But hey, if they're supporting bands like this, I'm all for it.
No, yeah,
they have
definitely.
They have the new Jethro Tull on their label too.
Yeah,
see Cranberries. That's crazy, huh?
The Cranberries, yeah. Today
label
is the day.
Mates.
All right, so we have nothing but good things to say about the new November's Due album. After a few weeks from now, after my job right now, after it's not so busy, we're going to get Larry back on the show and just have him come on, play some music, talk about the album. We'll have him come on Metal Geeks, too, because it's always a fun time to have him on that show. We've had Paul on that show before.
Yeah.
Right after Amazing Spider-Man 2 came out, we had Paul Kerr come on Metal Geek. I was like, hey, man, you can talk about the band if you want, but I'm bringing you on to talk about Spider-Man.
Yeah,
it was a great fucking interview. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
let me get him back on the show too. He's a brilliant, brilliant guy. So, Larry, if you're listening to this episode, come on the show, man. We're waiting for you.
Yeah.
So what's we started off with Amorphis, and then we got into November's Doom. What's next?
I'm thinking Pyramaze. New album.
Pyramaze by your choice.
New album coming out next week on the 28th.
As the young kids say, this song just dropped today on the YouTubes.
Yeah. Yeah, literally the video just got put up today for World Divided.
It's a great video. Oh, my God.
Surprisingly decent video, yeah. Good. Surprisingly good.
There's a great narrative behind it. It's about, you know, two factions of basically a world divided fighting against each other, going into war. And it looks great. It's shot well. It's very nicely done. The green screen effects, you know, they're playing against a green screen.
Yeah.
But it's really, really well done.
Yeah.
Lighting is great. Everything about it is a good video.
Surprisingly.
Surprisingly, yeah.
Yeah, and I like this band. I've known about Pyra Maze for a while. Yeah. Obviously, everyone kind of came to prominent attention when Matt Barlow joined the band.
Right, after, I remember that. I have that album.
After Lance King had left, and Barlow was there for an album. Barlow left, and amazingly enough, or not amazingly enough, because he gets around to every band in the world, it seems like, Urban Breed.
Yeah, that's right. I remember him being in the band for 3 years. Yeah.
Didn't record an album, then he left to go... I think he, that's when he joined Sirius Black. I think so. Cause he was in Bloodbound also at the same time. Then he left. He went to go join Sirius Black. They replaced Urban Breed with this guy named, what was the guy's name? Terje, the singer they have right now. Terje,
something like that.
Something. This guy's a great vocalist. I really like him. And they had Disciples of the Sun come out in 2015. I wrote a pretty positive review of the album. We actually played them on the show back then. And they're just a really good progressive power metal band. Keyword progressive.
Oh, yeah.
Because
definitely.
They are complex and they have
a lot of keyboards mixed
and,
in.
And the thing you'll notice about this song we're going to play in a little bit is that the chorus is very addictive. It's very hooky. It's a well-formed hook that arcs, but the build-up to it is gradual. It's not a hook that hits you like a pop song. It's a hook that just sort of kind of rolls over you like a wave.
I love almost. The beginning of the video. It's very somber and like nice little piano intro.
Yeah,
and everybody in the band looks all somber and melancholy, and then the song kicks in and they just start jamming.
Yeah. Terje Haroy, the vocalist.
Terje Haroy.
Haroy. I guess in a fellow Dane. These guys are from Denmark. But a legacy of great vocalists, Lance King, Matt Barlow, friggin' Urban Breed, who I adore Urban Breed's work. And in fact, I've been on an Urban Breed kick this past month. I've been going back and listening to old, like, Bloodbound, the two Bloodbound albums he was on, Tad Morose, that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, Tad Morose, wow.
Dude, Tad Morose, the last Tad Morose album that Urban Breed was on in 2004, I forgot the friggin' name.
You ready for my bad joke?
What?
Nah, I'm not going to do it.
No, say it.
All right, I like Tad Morose. I liked him more when they were just Morose. Now I like him better when they're just a Tad Morose. Now it's a good band. That's an underrated band right there. A lot of people don't really know about them.
Tad Morose, Modus Vivendi, came out in 2003. That album is damn near perfect.
2001?
2003.
Okay.
If you like...
sounded like you said 2033. I'm like, what?
If you like Camelot's Black Halo, at all... listen to Tad Morose's Modus Vivendi. That album is damn near perfect. That song No Mercy on that album is still one of my favorite like power metal songs of all time. Just heavy. Anything that Urban Breed's on develops like a sheen of class. And if you listen to the Bloodbound albums that he was on, especially the last one that he was on, because he was on the first one, then he left, and he came back for the third one, Tabula Rasa, Bloodbound Tabula Rasa.
Right.
Does not sound like any other Bloodbound album, and it's just like this sophisticated sci-fi power metal album. And then he leaves, and they get the new vocalist in, and they decide to start trend chasing. And that new Bloodbound album that came out 2 months ago,
War of Dragons,
is just one of the most embarrassing efforts I've heard from a power metal band in a while.
Sabaton worship much?
And it's not even the fact that they're aping Sabaton's keyboard sound, which they clearly are.
They are, totally.
It's the fact that they're trying to jump on this trend that has come out from Twilight Force, you know, this kind of like overtly hammy power metal thing just to be overtly hammy and tongue-in-cheek. Well, I think Bloodbound's trying to jump on that train, and it's a bad look for them. They need to check themselves or something. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Not a fan of that new Bloodbound album.
Well, there's a band that I think does that really, really well. We might even play them tonight. They are overly cheesy, and they have a new album coming out. And, of course, I'm talking about Dream Evil.
Okay.
Have you heard the new song yet?
No.
New album comes out really soon. So, yeah, I think we're going to play that this evening because now that we're talking about all these bands that are in that ilk,
yeah,
they've always had that tongue-in-cheekness to them.
Yeah, they have.
Which I love about them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's get into Pyra Maze, though.
Okay.
The song that you chose is called A World Divided.
Yep.
Check out the video on YouTube. It's a great video, actually. Great song.
Album Contingent comes out April 28th.
There you go. End of this month. All right, let's check out some Pyramid Maze.
Our only hope for survival is to abandon this false mother, Chaos, and seek the shelter of our true Caesar, Order. This is a call to arms. You sons and daughters, you orphans of righteousness, the time is now to cast aside your differences and return to your family. We are the patriarchs of a new beginning. Order from Chaos. Join us. Join us.
Thank you.
Hey, you were just listening to some Dream Evil, playing the song Dream Evil from the album Dream Evil.
No, it's not from the drive. Almost. The album is called Six, and it's their first album in like 7 years.
Yeah.
Coming out in May, I believe, the end of May.
Yeah.
So this is a song, the first single from the album. It's on YouTube. You can go watch it now. It's an okay video. It's typical.
Typical performance video.
But it's a great song. It, like we were talking about being tongue in cheek, Dream Evil has always been, they always wear that on the sleeves, you know what I mean?
They always have, they have a unique style identity of their own.
And the vocalist Nicholas,
it's very Snowy Isfelt.
Well, you know why?
Yeah, yeah.
Who started the band?
Yeah. Yep, Snowy and Frederick.
Yep, they kept they're keeping that going.
Which, I mean, I don't think Snowy's in the band anymore.
No.
But you know, Frederick's still around. I guess they just don't do stuff that much because he's still busy being a producer.
Right.
It's cool they brought it back.
If you don't know who we're talking about, we're talking about Frederick Nordstrom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the guy from the store.
It's from Studio Fredman, the legendary
producer. This is his go-to band when he wants to get out in there and jam.
Yeah.
I guess that's why it's probably why he's been so long since the last album.
Yeah, pretty much.
But if you're looking for a very gang chant worthy song,
that's it.
This is it right here.
Yeah.
It totally reminds me of like Book of Heavy Metal.
Yeah. And the thing about Dream Evil is just they have such a legacy around them, like with all the members and stuff and all the kind of people associated with the band. They're more of like a Swedish focal point of musicians that revolve around it and have been associated with it.
Yeah.
If you're into any of the bands that these guys have been connected to, you owe it to yourself to look into them.
I'm a big fan of Dream Evil.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
So yeah, once we're talking about tongue-in-cheek metal bands, I'm like, we gotta play Dream Evil.
And you know, the guy in Pyramids we were playing before, Jacob Hansen, who is the producer of the album, is also a member of the band. He joined the band.
Really?
Yeah, which is weird.
Jacob Hansen, that's a pretty big name.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Yeah. I like your band so much, I'm going to join it.
Producers who join bands.
There you go. All right. Interesting. I guess we could talk about the show that I saw last night.
Yeah.
Since we're about to play a song from that band.
Yeah.
So there's a tour going on, which is called the Killthrax Tour, right?
Yeah.
Which is Killswitch Engage and Anthrax are the two co-headliners, and they take turns headlining each different night of the show.
Is that what they're doing? They're flip-flopping?
Yeah, they're flip-flopping. Okay. Who's headlining?
Yeah.
So luckily, last night, when I saw it, Anthrax was not headlining. That way, not to knock anybody who likes Killswitch Engage at all. That's not what I'm doing here at all. I'm not a big fan.
That's what he's doing.
That's not what I'm doing. I was tired. I just saw, saw Morpheus the night before. Yeah. And I was just leaving work, but I was 2.5 blocks away from seeing Anthrax. I couldn't pass it up. Had to do it.
Yeah.
So, and we watched a little bit of the show because somebody put it on YouTube just a little while ago. The set list was pretty damn good. A lot of songs from Among the Living, of course. About 3 songs from the new album, which I was super happy they got they played Blood Eagle Wings. Love that song. Amazing song live.
Yeah.
Have you seen the video, right?
I think I've seen the video, yeah.
Oh yeah. The weirdest thing about this show is when they came out to the Blues Brothers song, right? I'm like, "Oh yeah, the first thing I saw was the drummer came out, Charlie." The lights came on. Guess what?
No, not
it wasn't Charlie.
Charlie.
I was like, wait a minute, what's going on? It was John Deddy.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, where the fuck is Charlie Benante? I have no idea.
Yeah.
I looked it up on Google. They didn't say anything at the show.
Does he have a Facebook?
He does. Yeah. I didn't check that out. I'm thinking, because I never heard a thing of him not being on this tour. I know he has a lot of carpal tunnel problems.
Yeah.
So there was talks about him sitting on other tours, but they didn't ever said anything on this tour. So maybe
he sat out last year's tour, or no?
At one point, yeah, not last year, but the tour before that.
When you and George went to go see him, was he there?
I think he was.
Okay,
I don't remember now.
Yeah,
but
maybe he wasn't.
Maybe he wasn't.
What the hell is going on?
I'm thinking maybe John Deddy's a backup drummer.
Yeah.
So if he's in too much pain and he can't perform, maybe he just jumps up there and plays.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. Deddy gets around. He plays for everyone.
Yeah. And he's a great fucking drummer.
Yeah.
Really, really is. So
good show.
Very good show. We watched some of it. The coolest thing about the show, I think, Scott Ian was there with his family was there. So Pearl was there on the side of the stage, I guess, with somebody's mom. And then Pearl and Scott Ian's son was there. And he's probably like 4 or 5 at this point. And he was jumping around, banging his head, playing air guitar the whole entire time. And he would come up to the stage and wave to people on the stage and stuff. And at one point when Joey wasn't singing in a part, he goes off to the side of the stage and starts playing with him and like headbanging with him. And it was pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
It's cool to see him on tour and not just being bored, you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's cool.
It's gonna be cool to have your daddy in a metal band like that.
I
wouldn't know.
You were talking about the show on social media, and you mentioned something about Killswitch Engage.
Yeah.
And I just listened to the new Josta episode, a podcast where he was interviewing Jesse from Killswitch. And the guy's engaging and everything. I was like, I'm gonna go check out their new album, the one that came out last year. I actually enjoyed it. I think I enjoy Killswitch Engage when they don't have Howard in the band. With all due respect to Howard, who is a very funny man in interviews, I enjoy him, but I don't like his voice. I just think it's not for me.
Yeah.
And I feel like all that Killswitch stuff that they did with him in the band is just, to me, is almost like nothing I can listen to because it's so cringeworthy to me.
Yeah.
But the stuff they do without him, I'm sort of into that.
Apparently last night they were filming the whole Killswitch Engage set for some VR company. They're going to broadcast it live in VR, which is pretty cool.
Oh, they didn't film Anthrax?
No, they didn't do it. It was just Killswitch Engage. And there was a bunch of, you know, cameras. There was like this whole thing going on. So the opening bands with a band called Code Orange, who you told me about.
Mm-hmm.
And you like, you dig
I like them. Those guys, yeah.
I only saw like a song and a half maybe. And they're okay. I truthfully, when I got in there, I thought they were Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, great. I'm missing them. I only get to see one song. I'm like, perfect. Great timing. And then Devil Wears Prada gets set up and they take the stage. So
yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say about them. If you like them, more power to you. They're not my type of thing. They weren't as bad as I thought they were going to be. I'll put it that way. Their drummer was actually quite good. I was really enjoying watching the drummer. He was a really, really good drummer, and you know what he does for that band elevates him a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't like the songs. I don't like the style.
Yeah.
It's just not me.
It's not for us. We're you know, it's funny, the guys in those bands. Well, I'm not sure.
And I wouldn't even call them metalcore from what I saw. It's definitely more like Dillinger Escape Plan type stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, you know, talking about a band like Killswitch Engage, the guys in that band are like old. You know, they're probably older than us, than both of us, I think. But they just kind of, they come from a different
place.
Maybe not me. They come from a different place, like musically.
Yeah.
Kind of like from both metal and the hardcore scene.
Yeah, definitely.
They were one of the founders of metalcore. And I'm not saying that stuff is bad. Like, I think if you got into heavy music that way, that's great. You know, it's just, for whatever reason, that stuff just doesn't speak to me. And I listened to the new Killswitch album last night, and I thought, this is enjoyable for being a good, heavy, fun record. But it doesn't have because I know that a lot of people are emotional about Killswitch Engage. Like, their music is, you know, it means something to
them.
There's
a lot of fans for them, I'll tell you that much.
And I think, and for me, you know, I don't, like, review them on my website or anything. We don't talk about them on this podcast
much.
MetalPigeon.com. And but the thing is, I don't ever go out of my way to bash those guys, because if you are a big Devil Wears Prada fan and you get into Anthrax just by being at that show,
yeah, exactly.
I don't care how you get into it, that the legacy artist,
and it works vice versa too. If you're an Anthrax fan and you get into Devil Wears Prada, or you got into Killswitch Engage
or Code Orange,
more power to you, because it was a definitely eclectic, different type of lineup.
Yeah, it was. That's a smart package.
Yeah.
So that new fans can get into older bands, older fans can get into new bands. You know, if some guy is just like, I haven't seen Anthrax since 1992, I'm going to go see him, and they get into new music that's out,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So this had, smart packaging.
Anthrax is the shirts are very expensive. They're like $40. Whoa. They had something I really wanted. They've re-released the For All Kings, which is the new album. They put this deluxe vinyl version. It's not very big. It's all 7 inches, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for most of the songs on the album, they have side A is the song, side B is a demo of the song.
Oh, okay.
And then there's bonus tracks, which I've actually downloaded from iTunes already. And we actually, that's what we're getting into right now.
Okay.
We're getting into one of these bonus tracks that's from this deluxe version of For All Kings. It's called Vice of the People. It's a really pretty cool song. It's, I can see why it was sort of left off the album, but it is a good song. And you've never heard it before, so we're gonna I'm gonna play it for you right now, and we're gonna come back to the show right after that. So
okay.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. We just heard a little tribute to Peter Steele, whose the anniversary of his death was last week. And I posted something, a tribute from Swallow the Sun that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of the show, Derek, posted this Voyager song, which I had never heard Voyager before. I've always seen them around. And they're really, really, really good. I dived into them pretty heavily that week.
Yeah. Band from Australia.
Yeah.
Right. And I remember listening to their last album, getting a promo of it and reviewing it for my site and thinking like, oh, they were pretty good. It's not normally the type of band I would listen to, but they did enough to interest me. And then hearing this, this is from 2011. This album's from.
The Meaning of I is the name of the album.
Yeah, The Meaning of I. And the song, The Iron Dream, yeah, it definitely has a typo feel to it. Like, especially in that little shift to that monotone sort of Peter Steele-ish vocal.
He's definitely doing a tribute to Peter Steele on the song.
It's a great little song. Yeah, nice little tribute. Looking forward to whatever they're releasing this coming summer, it seems like. They have something
there's
else
a song,
coming out.
There's a single out there called Ascension.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, the full length is coming soon.
Yeah. All right.
I'm digging them. So, you know, it's always cool when you find a band you've never heard before and they have like five albums out already. So you can really dive into them and, you know,
very
get a lot
prog,
going.
Very prog, these guys.
But heavy prog.
Heavy prog, yeah. Before that was the Anthrax. The Voice of the People. Vice of the People.
Vice of the People.
So this is the B-side, right?
Yeah, it is a B-side.
Okay.
It's a good song, but it's not as good as some of the songs on the album.
I can see why it was left off the album, yeah. I mean, it was a good solid riff. It just didn't really have the same kind of impact, I think. I can see why they left it off.
To me, it feels like an older style B-side from Anthrax.
Yeah.
Like in mid-90s style.
I could hear it being a John Bush song.
Yeah, kind of totally. Thing. Exactly yeah. right. That's what I was exactly what I was thinking.
Which maybe it would have been better with John
and it might
Bush
have been like it sounds like one of the songs they had like that could have been on a soundtrack back in the '90s. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it was okay. That's the album that keeps on giving. I think we played like six songs from that album.
Been
the
out
show.
For like a year already.
Yeah,
it's a good album though. I really dig that album a lot. So,
and so you have the version that has the. The LP version, you said?
I didn't buy that.
Okay.
It's like going from like 80 to 100 bucks.
Oh, Jesus. Never mind.
Yeah, it's expensive. But I did buy the three bonus tracks on iTunes, which was Vice of the People. They do Carry On Wayward Son, and they do a White Stripes cover.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I the last week I was going through, I've finally gotten all my physical CDs down to like a box of stuff I have left. I'm deciding what I'm going to sell and what I'm going to, you know, pack. I'm packing them all into like sleeves.
Yeah.
With the back artwork, the booklet and the CD, putting them in these sleeves. So I have this big, thick 400 something CD binder, which is my collection has been like shredded down into, condensed into. I've gotten rid of so much stuff. I'm going to get another one too. But like I was going through them and I was like looking at like stuff I was going to keep. And I realized like, if it's in a jewel case, I just have no attachment to it anymore. Like, it has to be something that... I have a ton of albums that are in deluxe editions, digipacks, you know, gatefold type stuff. That's the physical product that matters now to me. If it's in a jewel case, I'd rather it just be sans the jewel case and just have it in the binder in the sleeve. Because... And it's a totally opposite from you, who you have one of the biggest physical media collections of anything I've ever seen anywhere. And I know that you probably feel like yours is not even that big, but it's big to me. And mine used to be like that. And over the years, I've just dwarfed it down. But I mean, stuff like the you know, the special edition, the Anthrax, like that kind of stuff, that I feel is worth owning. It's just, if it's just a jewel case now, I'm just not interested anymore, you know?
So. I don't think... Yeah, I see your point. A lot of people, even with like Blu-rays, they're doing like special steel book cases, which I'm a sucker for those too.
Right,
I'm a sucker for digipacks and deluxe editions and all that too.
Yeah, you know the thing I think is the most pointless thing, and it happens a lot in DVDs, or it used to happen a lot in DVDs, is slip cases are just so fucking pointless. Slip cases suck.
Yeah,
like when it's the same artwork as the actual product underneath.
And you know what I hate
pointless.
About slipcases? When you can't get the fucking case out of the slipcase because it's so tight. Oh, that drives me crazy.
It was disheartening. I was sitting there, I was watching a movie on my couch, just like going through my CDs like while I'm watching the movie, and just like I was like looking at these like slipcases going throw it away. It was kind of like I lost the attachment to the physical nature of, but they're just CDs, you know. They're just, all I need is the artwork in this, in the disc, and that's it. Like, what do I need to, you know, have the jewel case for?
That's what vinyl is in.
Yeah, but you know, it's one thing. It's like, I live in an apartment, so if I ever have to move, it's such a pain in the fucking ass. Like, if I had a more permanent place to stay, it would be like, okay, I'll develop a collection, and I wouldn't mind having it because I wouldn't be moving or anything. But yeah, so I don't know.
So what are we going to get into next? We're going to talk about a show that you were at, that show too, weren't you?
Oh yeah. This happened in March.
Was it that far ago?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So
in March, in fact, we were talking about this show before we actually attended it.
Yep.
On the last episode. Yep. It was Creator Obituary Midnight Horrendous. It was just a death metal extravaganza. Thrash metal with Creator. Let me tell you something. I have never seen a pit that violent for a sustained amount of time. Well, I've seen pits as violent. But I've never seen one that has lasted three bands and kept on.
You must have never seen a Hatebreed pit.
Kept up with the intensity.
Yeah.
Because they started during Midnight. They kept going through Obituary. And I thought, okay, for Creator, they're probably going to be a little tired because the Obituary is so brutal. And they just kept going through Creator. Everyone who attended that show in Houston that night, hats off to you guys who were in the pit, because you never stopped. You went crazy. They even did the Wall of Death during Creator. I mean, it was just insane.
It was the House of Blues, too.
It was the House of Blues. And I remember talking to you and our friend Jean was over there, and I'm like, this is the most intense, like, just, like, and stamina-driven crowd I've seen in a long time at a Houston show. Everyone turned up. That place was packed out, and it was a fun show. And hats off to everyone who was in the pit that night for giving it like 150%.
Oh, yeah.
I could not have lasted a second in there. So
let's talk about the bands.
Yeah. So what'd you think of Creator, seeing them live for the first time?
Creator fucking blew me away. Holy.
They were so good.
Okay. And I think I've said this before on the show. I have not been a Creator fan until recently.
Right.
The new album really has pulled me into them.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a lot of their older albums, but it's just never been like that. Oh, wow. I'm a Creator fan, but now I can honestly say I'm a Creator fan.
Yeah, I mean, and ever since Enemy of God, they've been on ever since Violent Revolution, they've been on a tear, just like good album after great album after, you know. So, yeah, this was a tour that everyone should have gone and seen.
And this is my first time ever seeing Obituary.
They were great. Obituary was great. They were fun, and I'm definitely going to make a point to see them the next time they come through Houston.
I don't care. See what I did there?
Yeah, but they have a great music video out for this new album, for a song called 10,000 Ways to Die, and it's a animated video of the band having some sort of hijinks with zombies and
stuff. I have not seen this video yet. I've heard about it, but I have not seen it.
It's a direct sequel to the animated video they did off their last album, which started the story, and this is kind of like the part two of the story. And it's just a goofy, kind of lighthearted video.
That's cool.
But the animation's really fun, and it's kind of memorable, and the song's just catchy and stuff. And it's like, all right, money well spent on a video worth remembering, you know? And I think back to, like, last time we were watching that awful video from the Firewind album. Was it Firewind who were doing the 300 thing? Like, yeah. This is just a waste of time. What are you guys doing? So, yeah, two good videos represented tonight.
So let's check out this song. This is called 10,000 Ways to Die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, album came out in March.
This is from the self-titled Obituary album.
Yeah.
Which is really, really good.
Yeah.
No, you can't say you're a return to form because they've never left their form. You know what I mean?
Obituary is a solid.
You know exactly what you're going to get with an Obituary album.
Yeah.
But so it's great when a band this far into the career can still put out quality albums like this.
Yeah.
Even better albums, because this is a really fucking good album.
Yeah.
It's really good. So let's get into the new Obituary. This is 10,000 Ways to Die. Check out the music video on the YouTubes. Do yourself a favor. I'm about to do that right now. Be right back. Wraps up episode 193 of MSR Cast. We've had a lot of fun this evening bringing you some metal. How about you?
Brutal metal, yeah.
Well, some brutal, some not so brutal.
Absolutely.
It's okay. It's all metal. It's all good.
So what'd you think?
Of Obituary?
Mm-hmm.
That was a great little music video.
Yeah.
It's fun, man. You were right. You know, I think I mentioned it when we were watching it. You know what it reminds me of? It's like a Scooby-Doo episode.
Right,
it's like a big romp.
Yeah.
It's great.
Just silly romp.
It's silly romp. It's exactly what it is. It's
Sabotage logo in the bathroom.
Sabotage logo, Lemmy coming down to kill some zombies.
Yeah.
It's pretty great, man.
Yeah. I like video. It's something I'll remember. You know, a video you can remember.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the animation, it's cool. It's stylistic. It's,
yeah.
Everything, that's a really cool video.
Yeah. Smart use of money.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Okay. Very cool. I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
I actually want to watch that again.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. All right. So I guess we're going to get to, we're going to end the show on a somber note this evening. But before we get there, there's a couple of housekeeping things we need to get to.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, if you guys are in the Houston area, I'm going to be working Comic Palooza May 12th through 14th. If you guys can come out, we are going to have some metal bands playing. Can't say who they are quite yet, but it's going to be pretty cool. If you do want to come, I got a code that you can use that'll give you $5 off your 3-day ticket or your VIP ticket or whatever. It's cgordon3, which is G-O-R-D-O-N. So put that at the website, comicpalooza.com. You'll save $5. That's pretty much it on that. Come hang out. We got most of the defenders that are going to be there. A lot of cool people are going to be there.
Oh, and Freddy also Kruger,
Robert Englund.
Yes.
Is that who you're thinking?
No. But what I was also thinking was I want to start shouting out people who leave reviews for us on iTunes.
Yeah, definitely.
If you just the best way to support the show, you don't have to give us money, but just go to iTunes, leave a hopefully a 5-star review and write a little something, and we'll shout you out on the episode.
Yeah, we'll start reading them, I think, on the show. I think that'd be fun.
Give you a shout out. Yeah.
If you want to, when you're looking for it, go on iTunes, search for MSRcast/Metal Geeks. Both of our shows are there together. It's one show.
It's the picture. The icon has both of the
both logos together. On it, yeah. There's only one place on iTunes now to find it. Subscribe to us there. Listen to both shows. We have some more Metal Geeks geekery coming up soon. We have some ideas for some really cool MSRcast episodes in the very near future.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to find MSRcast on the interwebs, you can look for at MSRcast on the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook is same as Metal Geeks on all three of those. And to find us, you can go to MSRcast.com or MetalGeeks.net.
You find me at MetalPigeon.com and Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Metal Pigeon.
Go read all his reviews because he is a very, very articulate and very smart metal scribe.
Should have some more coming up this week, I think.
Cool. I'm looking forward to reading
November's Doom.
I don't want to read that one. All right, so let's get into our somber ending to this episode. A couple weeks ago, we lost a mastermind in the metal community, I think. Paul O'Neill passed away. He was able to take what he did with songwriting and helping out Sabotage to an immense level that I never thought would be possible. He took one of my favorite bands, which is Sabotage, into this multi-million dollar entity known as Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Which, if you've never seen them live, which I never did, it features a lot of members of Sabotage.
Yeah.
There's a couple touring, two different touring versions of the band, different coast and all that. Yeah. But, yeah, members of Sabotage, that's their, pretty much their gig now.
Yeah. It was shocking news that he passed away. He's young. He's 61 years old. And, in retrospect, it's so great that they were able to do the Wacken dual shows, the Sabotage TSO shows, that they were able to accomplish that before this happened. This was, I mean, just totally out of the blue. I don't think anyone had outside of his family was aware of any type of problem that he was having. I'm not really sure what the issue is or want to speculate on it, but shout out to Dr. Metal, who did a great tribute show to Paul O'Neill this week, today.
Yeah.
And, it's just a blow. It's just one of those things that I know some old school Sabotage fans probably feel like Paul O'Neill was responsible for them drifting into the more theatrical Broadway-ish path of their career. But honestly, John Oliva was always into that stuff begin with. I mean, go back to Gutter Ballet.
Paul O'Neill and John Oliva are kindred spirits in that sense.
Yeah, and that they were going to head in that direction whether or not Paul O'Neill was there. But he was the person who helped them put that sound into, you know, the most appealing possible way.
He was the hidden member of the band.
Yeah, he has an interesting career before when he was like an A&R guy back before he joined up with Sabotage, and he's an interesting guy to read about. And it just sucks. I'm not sure what's going to happen with TSO now. I'm not sure if they're going to keep going or
I think they can.
How their situation was set up.
He wrote most of the music for TSO, but I have a feeling that John Oliva could pick it up.
Yeah, I don't know who's. I'm not sure how their structure was set up, or if Oliva was like, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
He wasn't the main songwriter, but he did help.
He did help. Yeah.
So, in tribute to Paul O'Neill, we wanted to play something from the 1995 album Dead Winter Dead, which is the catalyst of TSO basically being around.
Yeah, I mean, that Dead Winter Dead was the concept album about the war in Sarajevo, and it had at the end, towards the end of the album, the second to last song, I believe, was Christmas Eve Sarajevo, and that was infamously the song that they had sent to radio stations under the Sabotage label, and they were like, pass, and then they you know, later on, they tried sending it again with no Sabotage label, and they started getting radio play. And so they were like, okay, let's create a new project out of this, and that's how Trans-Siberian was born. And so to play something in tribute to Paul from this album, there's the song at the end, Not What You See. It's kind of like the piano lament, you know. In the storyline, it fits in really well. But it also works as a kind of a, I don't know, like a tribute to him, because it's very much in the mode of what he was doing, especially with TSO, like the more piano, somber, melancholic stuff. And it's a, I don't know, to me, it feels like a good send off to him. You know, we could have played some, we could have played any of those songs, like Gutter Ballet. We could have played something off Streets, you know, like Jesus Saves.
When he passed, I actually played When the Crowds Are Gone.
That, When the Crowds Are Gone.
That's such an emotional song. Yeah,
or Believe or something.
Yeah, you know? Believe. Because I think TSO covered a Sabotage song on the last album.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I was listening to it. I was like, wow, okay, interesting.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Paul O'Neill, he was, you know, a legend. He was a great songwriter, great producer, great everything.
Yeah.
It was a smart idea to make TSO into what it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Everybody and your freaking grandma knows who they are, you know?
Yeah.
And taking a metal band to that level, it's pretty ingenious.
If you ever wondered what happened to Johnny Lee Middleton, he's been playing with TSO for the past, like, decade and a half, you know? Just like...
He's in a metal church now, too.
Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah, I believe so.
Wow, nice. Yeah, making a living
off that members TSO of... Man. Two members of Sabotage, or TSO, are actually in metal church. Chris Caffrey and, I believe, Johnny Lee.
Yeah.
I have to double-check on that. Don't quote me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, credit to Paul for, like, coming up with a vision that can get a lot of people into guitar-oriented music. People, like grandmas, go to see TSO and stuff, you know?
I know.
And it just families go there together. And if someone who, you know, is into Christmas music can get into, like, the heavy music through that.
I'm not so much into the Christmas music aspect of the band. They put a couple of interesting concept albums that were not based on
Beethoven's.
Christmas, Beethoven's Last Something.
Yeah, and then, like, they had one about the candle, something, the candle.
Yeah, that's the one that did the Sabotage cover on, I believe.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The last one that just came out.
Yeah, yeah.
So when he passed away, I listened to some of their music that I'd never heard before.
Yeah.
But in our tribute, we're going to get into Not What You See. This is from Dead Winter Dead. Thanks for tuning in to episode 193 of MSR Cast. We will see you guys next time.
Yep.
Keep it metal.
Keep it metal.
Putting every moment in play. Never hear a word.
Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.